flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Did Mike Vrabel hire Josh McDaniels, or did Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft hire Josh McDaniels?
Mike Vrabel hired Josh McDaniels.
So no forced marriage here. He went through the interview process and came down to the candidate that he wanted.
That's what I believe to be the case. Yes, absolutely.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
All right, Keith, you ready for this coaching staff?
Yeah, I think I am.
No choice.
No, there's no choice.
We're going to have to
be ready. It's also not surprising at all. We've been kind of preparing ourselves for this coaching staff since the second we knew Jerod Mayo was gone.
Yeah, we've been bracing.
It wasn't our call. It wasn't our favorite, but I think, you know, just kind of connecting the dots, like, all right, who's it going to be? And, yeah. Now, defensive coordinator, I certainly didn't know it was going to be him, but as soon as you look into Vrabel a little bit, obvious connection there to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, the third time around for Josh McDaniels. And here we go.
So the coaching staff is in place. I think the question is, who's in charge of the Patriots and how much do you trust them? I think that's what this all comes back to. We've talked about how many wins can they get and how easy the schedule is and what's right for Drake May and who should they add in free agency and what are they doing in the draft, which we'll get to. Some interesting comments yesterday from the personnel chief in Tennessee. Titans have the number one pick. Adam Schefter had a good answer yesterday to WEEI Afternoon. So maybe the draft is more complicated than we even gave it credit for. But I think the real question with this team is who's in charge and how much do you trust them? And the McDaniels hire shakes a lot of my confidence in that. It just does. Elliott Wolf was the same way when he survived this offseason, which he shouldn't have. Even if he has a reduced role and no power whatsoever, and he's just showing up, collecting a check, eating lunch, leaving the building, he shouldn't still be here. He should have gotten the same treatment as Jerod Mayo.
Right.
And the fact he's here shakes my confidence a little bit. I'd say the same thing about Josh McDaniels. The fact that he's back shakes my confidence a little bit that it's going to be a change. It's going to be different. Even Vrabel. And Vrabel's the one I like the most out of all these things we're talking about. I wasn't in love with it, but I'm okay with it. Even Vrabel, it's still a throwback to what they did in the past. There was no real search. It was a bag job. It was a sham process. It's somebody the Crafts knew, somebody who's at least been successful that they knew, but somebody they knew. The whole thing does make me question how different this is all going to be, how much success they're going to have right away. And I really don't fully trust the whole operation down there starting at the top. And I am wondering who's in charge. It still feels like ownership has too much, I don't want to say influence, it's their team, but their fingerprints are all over a lot of these moves, which means I still don't trust it's going to be a lot different.
Yeah, it's tough with Elliott Wolf still being there, but I am going to take what a lot of people are saying at face value that Mike Vrabel is going to have final say when it comes to all that stuff. So whether it's the fourth pick, whether it's a big splash in free agency, whatever else it might be, that'll be Mike Vrabel. You're right. It does throw a little curveball when you say, all right, was McDaniels his first choice? Might not have been his first choice, but I don't even know if he had an obvious first choice. You know, he was in Tennessee for 6 years, and he had four different offensive coordinators. And did you want any one of those guys coming back? I mean, maybe Matt LaFleur, he's the head coach of the Packers. You weren't getting him, but like, did he really want Arthur Smith? And if he got Arthur Smith, well, we've been thrilled about that. Did you really want Tim Kelly? Did you really want Todd Downing? Like, or I don't know, probably not. Tommy Reese was a name that he spent time with in Cleveland this year. I didn't really want him either. So I don't know if Kraft overruled and said we're taking McDaniels, or if Vrabel came around and was like, you know what? This guy is a pretty good offensive coordinator. He's got a ton of experience. I think we can make it work, because I don't know if there was a slam dunk offensive coordinator. Certainly not out of the guys they interviewed. You know, the young kid from Minnesota.
No, not out of the ones they interviewed. They didn't interview anybody.
But like, who are some of the other names that are going around? Like, look at the names last year. Of all the guys they interviewed last year, I don't know. I think I would have taken Zach Robinson, but he was obviously locked in with Raheem Morris. Three of the guys that they interviewed got jobs around the league and got fired in season. Lasted less time than Alex Van Pelt did. So it doesn't seem like there's a million great candidates there. It was sort of a somewhat weak head coaching candidate crop this year. And the offensive coordinator's one seems maybe a little bit worse. So then they ended up on McDaniels. And maybe Vrabel does like him. Maybe he does. I know, I think they, you know, yesterday Schefter said that's his choice. Now,
yeah.
Who's to say whether or not that's just something that he is told to say or whatever. But we'll see as it goes with free agency, with trades, and obviously the draft coming up. I think we'll have a little bit more of an idea what's going on.
So, you know, who's in charge of the Patriots? Who's running things? Is it Mike Vrabel? Is it ownership? Is there, to use a Gerard Mayo buzzword, collaboration going on there? And do you trust them to make the right decisions? Because, again, Elliott Wolf surviving, even Vrabel getting hired in the first place, and now Josh McDaniels here. That still feels like ownership is doing a lot of the same things, still looking at the Patriots past, as Scheim calls them, the member berries, still reliving all their greatest hits. And I don't know that it's really all that different than a year ago. Mayo and McDaniels are far more competent than, I'm sorry, Vrabel and McDaniels more competent than Mayo.
Right.
But is it enough of a difference, enough of a change where you look at it and go, the Patriots are back? And they're back to being on the right track.
Is too extreme.
Not to winning six Super Bowls, but back on the right track. I'm skeptical of that. So you guys can jump in, 617-779-7937. Full coaching staff effectively assembled, the important ones anyway. Mm-hmm. Coordinators, offense, defense, special teams. Your personnel is sorted out to a degree. Some of the names anyway, Elliott Wolf, Ryan Cowden. Vrabel's going to be central to that along with ownership. So you can jump in on whether or not you trust them. How do you feel about the current coaching staff and how different it'll be? You can also interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can also chat there. Always a healthy conversation going on Twitch and on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We're already getting texts enough with the Patriots coaching search, blah, blah, blah. Well, we will get to the Bruins. Nice effort out of them last night.
What happened to the bees?
What
the heck?
Marchand called them out before the game, and it looked like it responded well.
They did.
Is how it looks to me.
They listened to their captain.
Hey, so what happened?
We will get to what happened.
They got pantsed.
With the Bruins. We'll also get to the Celtics needed overtime to beat a shorthanded Clippers team last night if you stayed up late for it on the West Coast.
If you're running into Derek Jones Jr. and Kevin Porter Jr., you got to tip your cap.
Amir Coffey?
And Amir Coffey.
Yeah. Look out for that team.
You like that with or without milk?
So we'll get to them coming up.
Yeah.
But we are going to start with the Patriots. We'll get back to the draft as well coming up because I think the Titans may not be locked in at a quarterback at number one, which is a bad sign potentially for the Patriots or at least some of the plans that we had for the Patriots come draft time. So, again, that's at 617-779-7937. Who do you think is actually in charge, Keith?
Vrabel. I'm going with Vrabel. You know, if you look at the main hires right now, you could make the case that it's kind of up in the air because I still connect Kraft to McDaniels. I connect Vrabel certainly to Terrell Williams. Jeremy Springer stays on staff, and that was an Elliott Wolf guy from a year ago. But Vrabel also could have looked at it and said, they were pretty good last year. I don't need to blow up the entire thing. Guy seems like a good dude. Let's have some kind of consistency. That was the one area really that I don't think needs a complete overhaul. So keep him on staff. You know, you're already paying him, so you might as well keep him in there. But, no, I'm going to go with Vrabel only because what happened to him in Tennessee, I don't think he takes this job if he's going to get overruled at every turn. He can't let an A.J. Brown scenario happen to him again where he's like, this guy's great. I'm even going to tell him he's not going to get traded. And then the next thing I know, John Robinson trades him. And, boom, he's gone. Then they try to replace him with a first-round pick, and they swing and miss on that. And then he just left scrambling, being like, what are we doing? You know, it's one thing if Elliott Wolf and Mack Rowe and whoever want to tinker with players 49 through 53 on the roster and like, oh, this guy's on the practice, whatever, fine. The top 10, 20 guys, Mike Vrabel should have say on that, and that includes the number 4 pick. I'm sure there'll be plenty of input from plenty of different people on that one. But if Mike Vrabel feels really strongly about a player at 4, I hope to God he's able to take him.
So I'm with you on that. If you're talking about the big decisions, big free agents, big trades, the number 4 pick, Vrabel should have a lot of influence in that. I'm skeptical he's actually the guy making calls, and it'll be up to him, and it won't be some sort of collaborative approach where ownership and Wolf have say and Vrabel and Cowden have say. I'm not totally sold that'll be the case. I don't really know how we're going to square that away. I don't know how we're going to know the answer definitively, but I've been skeptical all along, ever since Wolf survived, to the Vrabel hire, now with the McDaniels hire. Do you think Vrabel's the right guy to do it? Like, do you think Vrabel, based on his track record, is the right guy to turn the organization over to?
I think that's an unknown, right? I think Mike Vrabel, the best thing you could say about him is he seems like he's going to be in command as a head coach. But there's also probably a good reason why not a lot of head coaches have full roster say. Belichick was like the only one doing it. Like, there wasn't many guys. I'm sure some, if you look around the league, have a little bit more input than others. Like, some would look at San Francisco and say Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch work really closely together. Although it's John Lynch's job. He's the one calling all the GMs and doing all that other stuff. It's pretty rare to have the coach GM as the same guy. So that's why I think Elliott Wolf is still here, is because he's not going to take on the entire job. Like, he needs those guys. Even Bill had those guys. Bill had Dimitroff and Pioli and Casario. Bill had those guys.
You got to delegate to a degree.
You have to, because you can't do everything and be the head coach of the team. So I think Vrabel, like, I have a lot of confidence in him just turning it around and being a professional head coach. The roster say thing, I don't know. There's not a ton of examples. I mean, the one that I keep bringing up is pretty
in favor
of him.
It's a good one.
The A.J. Brown one is a slam dunk in favor of Vrabel. I don't know what else he advocated for in Tennessee. Like, were there ones that he got overruled on that you're like, oof, good thing, you know, good thing you did get overruled. I don't know. Maybe there are certain draft picks that he liked and didn't like, or whatever. I'll give it a shot if you're like, hey, it's Vrabel or Elliott Wolf, or it's Vrabel or Matt Groh. Like, yeah, obviously.
The one thing I'll give a lot of people out there, it's the Bill crowd. But the one thing I'll give the Bill crowd out there is, a year ago, they're like, can't do it like this. Can't have one person running the organization. You need to be collaborative. You need to break down
Robert
silos.
Robert Kraft said that.
Right.
Robert Kraft was like, I gave him too much power.
And now, if you are, and I think it would be the right approach based on what they've done. It wouldn't have been how I'd do it. But now that you're doing it that way, I think you do need to turn it over to Vrabel. It is just such a sharp U-turn from a year ago to go 1 year away from Bill and then go right back to the Bill model where Vrabel's running everything. It's probably the right move based on the options that are at your disposal, but that is a real, real sharp U-turn. So who's running the Patriots? How much do you trust them? And if you do think it's Vrabel, and it is different than last year where the Crafts tried to, quote-unquote, get their football team back, if you do think it's Vrabel, is he the right guy to turn it over to? Again, 617-779-7937. Now, Keith, on Thursdays, what we've been doing for the past, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, month, whatever it's been, maybe even going back to late 2024.
Mm-hmm. Years.
On Thursdays.
We've been doing it for years.
Literal years we've been doing this now on Jones and Keith.
Uh-huh.
We've been putting ourselves on the clock, answering questions in 60 seconds, fixing problems for the local sports teams.
Yep. You can get a lot done in a minute.
Hiring coaches, hiring GMs,
right,
going through the free agent process, finishing the Red Sox offseason, all these things. So on Thursday, we've been putting ourselves on the clock, and we're even allowing you to go on the clock.
Oh.
With some of your own thoughts out there.
30 seconds.
You're not going to get 60 seconds.
No,
it's our show.
We only have 4 hours.
We get the full minute.
Yep.
You guys get some time, maybe the full 30, maybe not, depending on how it's going. But if you have pros and cons to the current coaching staff, the offseason to this point with personnel, the coaching staff, you can weigh in with all your pros and cons of what the Patriots have done to this point. We'll put you on the clock. We'll put ourselves on the clock. I believe you went first last time, Keith.
I think I did.
So you want me to give you my pros and cons here in 60 seconds?
Nick, do you have the clock ready to go? Do you have the counter? All right, we're going to need this.
Nick, you're ready?
Let's go.
All right, cue me up. All right, pros. Vrabel, McDaniels, they're professionals. They've both done it before. Basically, they're not Gerard Mayo. They're not going to be surprised by anything. I do like the member berries, Super Bowls, Tom Brady. I remember. Quarterback success. Vrabel went to an AFC title game with Ryan Tannehill. McDaniels has developed a lot of young quarterbacks. I do like the facial hair. Vrabel's got a good beard. Jeremy Springer, very well-groomed. I think that's a plus. They should be media savvy. I'm looking forward to Vrabel with Greg. No walk back Mondays. And I like that Terrell Williams, the defensive coordinator, loves violence, which I approve of as long as it's not towards me. Cons, they're not on trend. It's a defensive head coach, nobody from the McVay tree. Both Vrabel and McDaniels out of coaching last year. I think that's a problem. McDaniels wears a visor, like Andy Hart, like LPGA golfers. I don't think that's good. Drake May has to start over with the lingo for Josh McDaniels' offense. I don't like that. Elliott Wolf's still here. I'm told he won't do anything, but I'm dubious. And maybe the worst thing, Bill Belichick gonna find a way to take credit because these are all his guys. Any success, he'll take it. He will take that credit. And that I don't like. Those are the pros and
Bill
cons.
Bill, victory lap incoming.
He will be taking a victory lap every week on McAfee. Right. Well, when me and Josh worked together, when I had Mike Vrabel, these are going to be all his players. That I don't like. So those are some pros and cons for the Patriots. Nick, you want to put Rich Keefe on the clock? We'll hear his pros and cons in 60 seconds.
All right, here you go. Patriots coaching staff pros. You have real coaches. You have real professional coaches. Not like last year. So Mike Vrabel comes in as a legitimate boss. Everybody is going to respect Mike Vrabel on the team and around the league. He's going to be able to command a room, command a sideline. Nothing is going to surprise him on game day. Nothing is going to surprise him in the week leading up to game day. Josh McDaniels has called plays in the NFL almost as many years as Drake May has been alive. This guy has a ton of experience doing that. Terrell Williams, our Hoss of the Week. This big fellow coached the D-line for the Lions. The Lions did a great job defensively up front, especially when they were healthy, and did a good job against the run. And he has a great working relationship with Mike Vrabel. The cons? It does seem like another sham interview process for all of these guys. Like, they had their mind made up before. They didn't do any real interviews, and they just landed on two throwbacks, former player, former coach, for the third time. Josh McDaniels has also, in 8 years without Tom Brady, only had two good offenses.
No!
That was a minute?
That's not very good. Yeah, it seemed like you, I don't know why you're questioning Nick about...
Nick, that feels like a quick clock.
Quick hook?
Real quick
hook. The file is exactly 1 minute and 1 second, and that's with the buzzer.
Oh, so you gave him an extra second. So I actually
With the buzzer.
I actually have a problem.
Sometimes a minute flies by, other times a minute takes forever.
So some overlap, but you make a good point there. I don't like the sham process either. That's one that I left out.
And maybe you still land on these guys, but maybe you're surprised. Maybe you get blown away by somebody else and you open up to some new line of thinking. The other thing, so I like the Terrell Williams hire. I think the defense could be good.
By the way, you broke news there. He's our Hoss of the Week.
He is our Hoss of the Week.
I was unaware.
He deserves it.
I thought we were going with Ted for Hoss of the Week.
I thought it was
last week. Ted was last week.
We have three different Hosses. I thought it was CeCe Sabathia.
No. Nick's right. We were talking about CeCe Sabathia if he got in for Hoss of the Week. Very controversial Hoss of the Week. Yeah.
No, that's true.
Well, I don't want co-Hosses.
No, but this is one thing, just to be consistent. If we're going to be excited about Mike Vrabel not being a first-year head coach, that's good in a lot of minds. And Josh McDaniels not being a first-year OC, that's good. Well, Terrell Williams is a first-year DC. So how do you pick and choose which is good or which is bad?
If you like experience.
He doesn't have that.
And people who have called plays before, if that's what you like, that is inconsistent. So I think that's a fair point.
But overall, I do think I'm talking myself into the pros outweighing the cons because I like the Vrabel hire enough, and that's the most important piece. You know, I think how Drake May and Josh McDaniels work together, that's also going to just tell the whole story. Like, if that works, great. It's the greatest hire ever. And if it doesn't, and you're like, I don't think you're getting the most out of Drake May, then you're in trouble.
You're a glass half pro guy. I'm a glass half con guy, I think.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
When you line it all up, I think that checks out. Yeah. So, you guys want to get on the clock? We'll give you 30 seconds. Not your show. It's me and Rich's show. We'll give you 30 seconds out there for all your pros and cons for what the Patriots have done with their coaching staff in this offseason. To this point, I guess more hires still to come, certainly more moves in terms of personnel still to come. So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. We'll get to all your thoughts there. We will get to the Titans at number one. They're not going to pass on a generational prospect. Who are they talking about? What does it mean for the Patriots? And did they completely butcher Week 18? I think you know the answer, meaning the Patriots going out and beating Buffalo that week. We'll get to the Bruins not responding to Brad Marchand, challenging them before the game. We'll get to the Celtics needing overtime to beat Amir Coffey. Who else last night?
Yeah, Derek Jones Jr., Kevin Porter Jr.
Oh, airplane mode went off last night, actually. I forgot about that.
He's a good player.
So we'll get to the Celtics as well. And I know you said this in the crossover, Keith. Mm-hmm. I forgot to bring this up. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk to, number one, the Razor, Andrew Raycroft, on a Bruins Thursday.
He's back.
He is back this week. We'll talk to him around 11:30 on a Bruins Thursday. And lights out, Sean Merriman going to join us at 1 o'clock.
How about that?
He hates the Patriots. The man hates the Patriots. Does. I want to see if that's still...
Patriots stood in the way of him having big team success multiple times.
Yes. I want to see if he still burns hot for the Patriots.
Okay.
We'll ask him about his experience on the challenge, among other things. Plus, he'll pick some games this weekend.
I think he and CM Punk are big rivals.
Oh, good.
We'll get to that.
See, this is the stuff we're going to get to with Sean Merriman in the 1 o'clock hour. Billy Lanny has all the latest in trending. And then let's get back to the Patriots' approach in Week 18. What it all means for their pick in the first round at number 4. That's next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by FindMassMoney.gov. The Bruins fell 5-1 to the Devils in New Jersey last night. The Bees were up 1-0 heading into the first intermission, but would allow four goals in the second period and a fifth goal in the third period. Three of the Devils' five goals were scored on the power play. The Bruins are right back at it tonight when the Bees host the Ottawa Senators. Puck drop at the Garden is at 7 o'clock. It's back-to-back wins for the Celtics after last night's 117-113 overtime victory against the Clippers in Los Angeles. Jaylen Brown led season scoring with 25 points. Jason Tatum scored 25, and Derek White added 20 points in of his own. The Celtics will remain in Los Angeles to play the Lakers tonight. Tip-off is at 10 o'clock. Patriots quarterback Christian Gonzalez has been named a finalist for the AP Comeback Player of the Year Award. In the NFC and AFC Championship games of this Sunday, the Eagles host the Commanders at 4 o'clock, and the Bills will be in Kansas City to play the Chiefs at 6:30. You can hear Westwood One's call of Conference Championship Sunday right here on 93.7 WEEI FM, with coverage beginning at 2 o'clock. Now that it's the new year, I'm sure you want to take care of all those holiday bills. You could have unclaimed money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll check, or refund check that never got to you. Go to findmassmoney.gov today. It's a secure website. It takes only 30 seconds to search your name. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, Jones and Keefe
on WEEI. Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Earlier today, this is sort of more looking forward into the draft. You tweeted out around 11:30 today, Titans president of football operations Chad Brinker at today's press conference to introduce GM Mike Borgonzi. We won't pass on a generational talent with the first pick in the NFL draft. If you had to guess, not holding your feet to the fire per se, but if you had to guess, who do you think that generational talent might be, or do you have any intimations as to which way the Titans would be going?
The defensive lineman from Penn State or the wide receiver cornerback from Colorado. That quote told me that they are not locked in to take a quarterback at one. That is not what New England wanted to hear, that quote today.
Adam Schefter yesterday on WEEI Afternoons. Hart, Ted Johnson. Fitzy was very disappointed. I'm sorry, one more time, Fitzy?
That is not what they wanted to hear.
Oh, my goodness. That was quite a that was a very visceral reaction by Fitzy.
Ew.
Yeah, it was Mayo-esque is what it was.
That is not what they wanted to hear. I actually view it a little bit differently. Call me crazy.
Oh?
So they have the fourth pick in the draft, last I checked, because they had to win the last game of the season.
Yeah, they
desperately had to go out there and win the last game.
Uh-huh.
So they could have had the first pick, and none of this would have been an issue. But instead, they're like, we're going to go out there and win this one. So they got the fourth pick, which is, again, malfeasance. That is malfeasance.
Is that your word you used at the time?
I don't know.
It's a good word.
Real good word.
Yeah, malfeasance.
They said it in the office. So that's how I know it. But so they have the fourth pick. It's a two-quarterback draft, correct?
I like two of the quarterbacks, yeah.
All right. You never know what's going to happen.
Not everybody likes Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I like both, though.
But it seems like it's probably a two-quarterback draft, meaning they're going to get overdrafted. So even in most years, they shouldn't go 1-2. They might go 1-2 this year. So if Shedeur Sanders goes 1, Cam Ward goes 2, and Travis Hunter goes 3, you still have the fourth pick, right? New scenario, Travis Hunter goes 1, Shedeur Sanders goes 2, Cam Ward goes 3. The same three guys are off the board. Who cares what the order is?
Okay, I thought you were going to say something different because you could spin it into a positive.
This is what I'm saying. I just think it's the same thing.
If
you had the third pick, it'd be more damning.
What if one of the quarterbacks falls and now you're on the board at four and somebody wants to move up for a quarterback?
Same thing.
So not same thing. We thought they were out of reach for that to trade back and really get a haul for a quarterback.
You won't get as much as the first pick because clearly that player's sliding down for some sort of reason.
But you're going to get more moving down for a quarterback at four than you would if somebody wanted to come up the board for Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Yeah, but I just think that, I don't know.
You don't think it changes anything?
Not at all. I don't know what the hubbub is about. As long as the stock is still high enough on Sanders and Ward for them to go in the top three, then we're still having the same conversation at four.
The idea is there's a generational prospect in the draft, which I don't know that I agree with. Who do you think he's talking about? Who's a generational prospect? Is it Hunter? Is it Abdul Carter? Is it somebody else? Like, who's he even talking about?
Both. Although, if you're
they're both generational prospects.
I mean, one guy looks like a freak show defensively, like Micah Parsons, and the other guy is a two-way player the likes we've never seen.
Who are you taking? I know you were a Travis Hunter guy. Are you still a Travis Hunter guy?
Yeah. I'd take Travis Hunter, but I mean, I'd be pretty happy with Carter also.
I would take Travis Hunter over Abdul Carter. I initially poo-pooed Abdul Carter. I watched him against Notre Dame. That was hard to ignore.
Yeah.
That was real hard to ignore. So I'm more open to that.
But, like, the thought that both of them were going to be available at four, I don't think anybody really considered.
Well, but one of them could be.
Well, one of them still could be.
Yeah, but what?
also, if you're the Titans,
but they both
don't
could
you
be,
just say stuff?
But, Keith, they both could be gone is my point. Like, if the quarterback's not going at one, maybe it goes Hunter, Abdul, Carter, and now you miss out on both. I think that's what people like Fitzy are afraid of, I think.
No, I guess that's not ideal. But also there could be other teams trading up that are over you, 2 and 3, to take the quarterback, which would push either Hunter or Carter down. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe no quarterbacks will go in the top three. And then you're like, what the hell? And then you're like, those guys just keep dropping. That's possible. A lot of times things change.
Yeah, what if these quarterbacks are Kenny Pickett? I've seen that comp before.
The stock changes,
where no one loves these quarterbacks and they don't go in the top four. And now who are you taking? The quarterbacks are going after you. Like who? Like
BHA?
That would be problematic. Do you go BHA? You probably go best.
You probably just
available.
Have to go best.
Yeah, I think you
available.
Probably do.
No, but that's possible. And we've seen many years where January 20th or 23rd, what we think the draft might look like versus April 23rd, what the draft might look like. I mean, there was a time, I think, right after the season ended back in like 2018. Like, you think Baker Mayfield will be a first-round pick? You're like, yeah, maybe.
Might go in the 20s. Next thing you know, he's a first overall pick.
So, like, things change. But
I think Jaden Daniels, at this point in the process a year ago, was certainly not going ahead of Drake May. I'm not sure he was going in the top 10 at this point a year ago.
Do you think also Tennessee could just be saying stuff to throw stuff around?
Yes.
I mean, GMs are going to say whatever they want.
So
and also,
I think this could be, you know, sort of going out there, playing games, trying to throw people off the scent. Oh, you know what? Tennessee really loves Travis Hunter, and it's gamesmanship. Maybe they think they can move down a spot or two.
Also,
somebody else can come up and get Travis Hunter. We'll still get our guy at three. Yeah. It could 100% be gamesmanship.
Or
yes.
If you're Tennessee, let's say hypothetically they love Shedeur Sanders. They love him. Couldn't they say he's a generational talent?
Well,
like,
true.
If you take a guy at one, you're like, I think he's a generational talent. He may not be, but in our eyes, we view him as a generational talent. That's fine, too. Like, if you don't think the player at number one is a generational talent, you should get the hell out of number one. You shouldn't even take a guy at number one.
I do think the lesson here is exactly what you said, Keith. Week 18 malfeasance. You needed the number one pick. You screwed that up. And if you went into that week knowing that you were going to move on from Jerod Mayo, I think it's clear they knew it. Like
they should be picking.
They fired him an hour after the game.
Yeah.
So they knew
they have like the whole thing written out.
Press release
like,
ready to go.
To that,
like
yeah.
The whole thing was ready. They probably already hired Vrabel at that point, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, like
and
they
McDaniels.
Probably already had a wink and a nod agreement with Vrabel and McDaniels and everybody else. If you knew all that, you should have fired Mayo before the game. You should have. And I've heard people say this. Curran said this to us, and it's a fair counterpoint. Why wouldn't you keep Mayo there? Well, you think Mayo has the power to coach people up? If everybody thinks he's so bad, why would you be worried about his ability to coach people up?
I guess, but when both teams are just so bad, or the Bills are just throwing the game, you can manipulate it a little bit better.
And when your coach is just, he's not on board with what the organization wants because he wants to give you a middle finger, that's just a dangerous spot.
2 years ago.
Thank you. It's a dangerous spot to be in.
Yeah.
So it puts that whole decision back under a microscope. You should have fired Mayo before you got to week 18. And the fact that you butchered that, you're going to pay for it. In some way, shape, or form. Fitzy, I know you don't want to hear it, but you're going to pay for it. in some way, shape, or form, screwing it up in week 18. I'm sorry, Fitzy. You are.
Yeah.
So are you worried at all about not getting your generational prospect at number four? Keith makes a good point.
I think it's the same. I think
if they were already going at three, Hunter or Abdul-Carter, you were going to get the leftovers at four anyway. Are you as concerned as Fitzy is there and as Adam Schefter made it sound?
Now, there's always a chance of trades. Everybody loves trades. But right now, it goes Titans, Browns, Giants in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You can make a strong case that all three need quarterbacks.
They all do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
not sure they're all drafting one, but they all need one. Yeah.
But they all need one is my point. And so if in some order, even without trades, two of those teams take a quarterback, one takes this generational talent, whether it's at 1, 2, or three, sitting there at four, you still have the ability to take either Hunter or Carter, best toss available, or trade down. Like, you can still do all of those things.
You can.
Because I heard the reaction of Fitzy. I saw some of the reaction online when they posted the clip from WEI Afternoons.
I can't unhear the reaction from Fitzy.
It's going to haunt my dreams. But I was like, yeah, okay. If they were picking third, that's a different story. Because you're like, no, this is supposed to go receiver. Then you get to pick the best non-quarterback in the draft. Oh, I'm sorry. It was supposed to go quarterback. Mm-hmm. So you should be able to pick whoever you want. But you're picking fourth. You already screwed yourself a month ago.
Okay. You played yourself, as a wise man once said. You played yourself.
Yeah, you did.
So there you go. Your thoughts on the Patriots and whether or not they're too far away from getting the quote-unquote generational prospect Adam Schefter was discussing yesterday on WEI Afternoons. And Chad Brinker, the personnel chief there in Tennessee, brought up earlier in the day. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. If you have 30 seconds of pros and cons for the Patriots, their coaching staff, you can weigh in with those. We'll put you on the clock, just like myself and Rich Keefe went on the clock earlier today. Keefe, you want to recap the highlights of your pros and cons of this coaching staff real
quick?
Yeah,
basically, Vrabel is a real NFL coach. He's going to command respect from everybody on the team around the league. Josh McDaniels has called plays for nearly 20 years. Terrell Williams seems like he's going to coach the defense with a little bit of snarl and nastiness, which they have lacked over the last couple of years. Cons would just be these guys seem to all be just handed the job. You weren't even really open to any other possible new ideas. And Josh McDaniels, he had 8 seasons as a play caller without Tom Brady, and only 2 of those offenses were good.
Not good. So I agree with a lot of those. There's some overlap. I do like the facial hair on the coaching staff. I think they're bringing beards back strong.
You'd say real handsome staff?
Well-manicured beards going on.
Good-looking dudes?
I'd say it's a fairly...
Can we get like a Patriots coach's calendar?
Maybe. Yes.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, but eventually. I don't think they have 12 hires yet, but yeah, you could do that.
There's got to be some guys on the staff that we don't even know about.
You got to build up to Jeremy Springer. You can't do that in
January. Although, did you see this news about Stretch? John Stretch Stryker that they got?
No.
How do you say his last name?
Stryker.
Andy Hart just retweeted the Rams writer, Jordan Rodrigue from The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
Sean McVay confirms that John Stretch Stryker is headed back to work with Mike Vrabel in New England. Laughing, he said, Stretch, quote, broke his heart with the news. Stryker was a huge influence on McVay's improved situational and game management this year.
Okay. As it's been told, he is the Ernie Adams for Mike Vrabel. Although we were told...
Well, if he was working with McVay.
Who was the guy? Like, Mayo had a guy, too.
Yeah, that guy was great. Obviously.
Why can't I think of that guy's name?
Kick Rothstein? The point.
Evan Rothstein.
Thank you.
Kick the point.
So like
we could win the game with a 2. Don't do it. Kick the point. Overtime.
So, you know, all these dweebs are not created equal, but that's his. So I'm looking forward to the facial hair on staff. The visor with Josh McDaniels, not so much. I think you overlooked those, Keith.
Yeah.
Again, Andy Hart, LPGA golfers. That's kind of...
Pretty much. Chip Kelly.
That's kind of where visors come in.
My guy Chip Kelly does wear a visor.
I did purposely ignore Chip Kelly. It's a good point. So we'll get to your thoughts. 617-779-7937. Russ in Springfield wants to weigh out of the Pats draft. Go ahead, Russ.
Hey, guys. I actually got a quick trade idea. So let's say Travis Hunter and Abdul-Carter go 1 and 2. Let's say Cam Ward goes 3. I would trade down with the Las Vegas Raiders and draft Ted McMillan. What do you guys think?
I mean, I like a receiver. I would rather them trade for or sign a receiver than draft Ted McMillan.
It's starting to look like the best scenario because, like, I like Luther Burden in the draft. He's going to go in the teens, maybe 20s. So if that's a receiver I like, then maybe you trade back in late in the first round. I think there are veteran receivers you can go get. I'm an advocate for trading down, though. I am.
Yeah, I don't mind that. But trading just down to 6.
Not far enough.
Yeah, because I'm like, if I'm up there, I would just... I guess it depends on if Travis Hunter's available or not. I'm not sure there's another receiver I would take in this draft in the top 15. Like, let's say you trade somewhere, you're still in the top half of the draft. I'd be happy with Hunter because there's some a lot of versatility, and you can figure out ways to use them. It's just straight up Tet McMillan there. I don't know. Because then I wonder if that also prevents them from being aggressive in the trade market or the Higgins market.
Right, exactly.
They might be like, listen, we have a lot of needs. You know, because as Elliot Wolf said about Jalen Polk, we thought he was going to be a plug and play.
We thought he was plug and play.
Whoops.
Turns out he was not.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. We're also going to put you on the clock if you have 30 seconds of pros and cons for the Patriots coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Nick, let's put Brock in Middleborough on the clock. Go ahead, Brock.
I was just calling about the staff because what it feels like over the last year is we got a young quarterback. Hey, Mom, can we get like some experienced coaches in here? And they said, no, we got Mike Vrabel type at home. And it was Dread Mayo, and it stunk for a whole year. And they went out and actually got some experienced coaches like a Mike Vrabel type. It's, even got your favorite OC, Josh McDaniels, to come back. And it's like, yeah, it was better than last
year. So experience is a plus, is what he's saying. Well, he's doing, that was just one pro.
Okay.
Yeah.
Use your time however you want to use your time.
You have 30 seconds to do what you want.
Whatever.
It's pros and, it's you can pros just
compliment,
and cons.
You can compliment the show if you want for 30 seconds. We'll take it.
Yeah. You can go on the clock and do what you want. Yeah. It's your time, as Keith said.
That's right.
Your time.
Just don't swear. We did have a problem with that one time we did the clock.
Yeah,
multiple callers.
It's contagious. Yeah. Once one person swears, next thing you know, it's all.
Don't swear.
It's all downhill. 617-779-7937. We'll be happy to put you on the clock. We'll get to the Bruins and the Celtics coming up. I do want to get into the championship games this weekend. What does Tom Brady think of Patrick Mahomes? All the flopping and the calls that he's been getting? Tom Brady and authority on that. We'll get to it next.
This is Jones and Keefe on WEEI. Save us as a favorite on the Odyssey app.
And take Boston Sports Original
everywhere you go.
The reality for me is offensive players need to protect themselves. And if they're running full speed and the defenders are coming up, the intent is to create, the only way to turn the ball over is to create force.
Right.
You're not going to blow on the football and knock its way out of a running back's hands or a quarterback's hands. You got to go in there with force and knock it out. You're trying to create turnovers. You're trying to disrupt the pass. You're trying to dislodge the ball. The only way to do that is with force, and there needs to be an aggressiveness to doing that. When quarterbacks become running backs and they're out of the pocket, they should lose their protection. And we are, in essence, we're trying to say we're trying to protect the quarterbacks, but coaches are calling more quarterback runs than ever in the history of the game. So who's protecting the quarterback?
We've heard this answer from Tom Brady a couple of different times now throughout the course of the year. Kind of blaming players. The victims. I think the last time we did this was the Trevor Lawrence hit, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't he blaming Trevor Lawrence kind of?
Sort of.
In that situation.
Like, who's protecting the quarterback?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Well,
the whole league is.
He's saying that the league is supposed to, but the coaches are running these guys and they're putting them in harm's way. Yeah. And the players don't know how to defend themselves. So I'll ask you, Keith, and we'll ask the people out there of Boston driving around at 617-779-7937. I think Brady has a point on this with player safety and not just the injuries, but even Mahomes trying to draw these flags and trick the defense effectively. Do you think he has a point, or is Brady just one of these, back in my day, it used to be that, like a Barkley, effectively, less entertaining, but Barkley and Shaq complaining about how it was in their day, and is it just petty from Brady? What do you think that is?
No, I think it's just they need to figure out overall in the league what they're doing with the quarterbacks, because they do want to protect them, but they don't have everything put in place. And then when you have guys that try to take advantage of the rules that are already there, like Mahomes, it just gets uglier. Because a lot of times in all sports, you're like, the key to player safety is actually the other players. Like, the players are taking these headshots, and they're like, when it's 15 yards, whatever. But it is a penalty. And even, like, targeting and, like, guys can get thrown out of games. Like, they're trying to put these rules in place, but they're also saying, oh, physical sport, we got to do this. And this also goes back to the discussion we had about, is sliding actually the safest thing you can do? A lot of coaches teach that, like, hey, you got to get down and slide. I think we saw more injury. This is anecdotal. I don't know if this is for facts. But just based on watching games, Patriots and other games this year, don't you think quarterbacks took bigger hits sliding? And certainly the big-time concussions feel like they were almost all on slides as compared to maybe going down. Like, this weekend, Lamar Jackson, who's one of the smaller quarterbacks in the league, a few times he just went full go and, like, took a hit, but took, like, a football player hit and didn't allow them to have, like, an open shot on his head. And that's probably the better way to go. So I don't know if that's what Brady's also maybe should be alluding to. Like, figure out what you want to do as a quarterback, because what the league is telling you is the safest option, it seems like it's actually the most dangerous option.
Well, and Andy Hart's the first one that I'm sure others have brought it up. He's the first one that I really heard hammering away at this, and it's an interesting point. Like, do the players know how to protect themselves sliding versus
remember that,
you know,
whole thing about Tua, like teaching Tua to slide? You didn't know how to slide. They brought in, like, a baseball coach, and, like, you got to slide, you got to slide. But I don't know, because, like, it's not just how to slide. It's the timing of the slide, and also – do you trust the safety? There might be some lunatic safety that's just come flying in. He doesn't care when you slide.
Well, I know we have Sean Merriman coming up at 1 o'clock. Yeah. Former Chargers linebacker, lights out.
I feel like he'd rip your head off.
Not very popular with Patriots fans. I don't think he loves the Patriots or their fans either. So it should be an interesting conversation at 1 here on WEEI. But yeah, that's one thing you want to ask him. Like, all right, Mahomes is playing that game where he's going down late and he's trying to trick the officials and draw a flag on the defense. What would you do?
I think it's one of those... I mean, maybe not for Merriman, but it'd be one of those, like, all right, fool me once, you know, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me, or the other way around. Because if you allow him to pick up an extra 5 yards because you were, like, afraid of a penalty, that second time, if he's near out of bounds, like, you're going to shove him as hard as you can out of there or take him off or not trust the slide. Because he's also manipulating it where he's doing the really late slides, which is ridiculous. But there's also a difference, too, like, some of these designed quarterback runs, I feel like Allen and Lamar, for example, and Jalen Hurts usually don't end up sliding.
No.
I feel like the sliding is more like, oh, play broke down. Let me try to get 4 yards real quick and do that. But, yeah, this weekend you're going to see a lot of it. All four of these quarterbacks are going to run quite a bit.
Well, and one of the things I'm curious about, should Mahomes get to a Super Bowl? Brady's going to call that game. And this occurred to me. I don't know why this didn't occur to me till now, but I'm just curious to hear how Brady handles a quarterback doing something he's never done and a quarterback hot on his heels. And, like, I am curious about that. If Mahomes wins this weekend,
yeah,
and that is a toss-up game. I'm picking the Chiefs, but that's a toss-up game.
Definitely.
Brady's commentary could be interesting, and he had a good game against Detroit. So maybe there's something there, at least for entertainment purposes. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on Brady. Does he have a point? Is he being petty? And what do you think of Bills and Chiefs? Johnny is in Brooklyn. Go ahead, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to ask your opinion of the defensive coordinator of the Patriots saying that they want violent players. As soon as I read that, I couldn't help but think of a certain tight end that was a little had a little violence in his. I know that's not what they have in mind.
Well, I don't
want to get your thoughts.
Yeah, I don't. I don't think that's what he meant.
I wouldn't go there.
Bringing violence
on the field.
Bringing violence back on defense, though. Like, let's not overcomplicate it. It's not about scheme. Aiden Hutchinson had some similar things to say about Terrell Williams, where it's like, yeah, it's not overly about scheme. Let's go out there. Let's have a high motor, finish plays, and be violent. Good. I think that's a good attitude to have on defense.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guy can call plays, but that's a good attitude to have on defense.
Because it didn't feel that way. And usually you're like, all right, that should be one advantage of having the defensive head coach is doesn't that mentality get kind of passed down to that team and the defense? And I know they had injuries, but it just didn't really feel like that this year. It just didn't. And so I think now if you have the combination of Vrabel and Williams defensively, even if it's a lot of the same personnel, I think you're going to be able to get a lot more out of those guys.
Let's go to Mark in Medford on a topic we'll be getting to, the Bruins. Their loss last night.
Boy.
Yes, Mark?
Good morning, guys. I finally have come to the conclusion that there's no hope, and this team flat out stinks. And I've noticed the last few games, when Brandon Carlo or minus Lori is on the ice, yes, I said minus Lori.
Minus Lori,
okay,
got it, yep.
Is on the ice, that's where the puck is going. I've noticed it. This team can't play defense. They friggin' suck.
Okay. Okay, well, Mark's not happy with the Bruins.
It was not a great performance last night.
Disagree with the commentary.
No.
Minus Lori. Do you think that one's going to stick?
Probably.
Good.
He's their only halfway decent offensive defenseman, but yeah, as far as being a defensive defenseman, that's not really in his game.
No. That's not his strong suit. So you can jump in on the Bruins and the Celtics, both in action last night. We have thoughts on each. We'll get to it next.